Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. Today, more than 300 media outlets around the country joined forces to promote freedom of the press. The Boston Globe led this effort in response to attacks on the press by President Trump.
A few days ago, I called the fake news the enemy of the people, and they are. They are the enemy of the people.
The Globe's editorial today is titled, "Journalists Are Not the Enemy." And for more on this, we're joined by Linda Pizzuti-Henry. She's managing director of the Boston Globe. Welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in. Also with us in studio, John Carroll, a professor of journalism at Boston University and WBUR's senior news analyst. Great to have you as always.
Good to be here.
And listeners, we want to hear from you on this topic as well. What do you think of this effort by the media to push back against the president's comments? Did your local paper participate? And do you agree with those who say that this is nothing more than a PR stunt that plays into the president's narrative? Call us with your thoughts at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also send us a tweet. We are at Radio Boston. So, Linda, let's start with you. What was the thinking behind, you know, calling for news organizations to get together here and publish editorials about freedom of the press?
Thank you. So this idea started with our within our editorial board. Specifically, Marjorie Pritchard had this idea, and the editorial board got behind it, that there is a consequence to this increased rhetoric. And we want it. We have a choice. We either stay silent and absorb it, or you respond. And so we decided that we wanted to respond. And we reached out to other newspapers saying, hey, we're going to respond to this. Would you like to join us? And the response was really overwhelming. It started slowly and it snowballed. And we really wanted to make sure that it was a voice from voices of newspapers from around the country, but in their own words. Mm. Because what a free press means here in Boston and how the press serves this community is different from how it serves a community in Boise, for okay. example. And the we ended up with, the last count is 380, but we're not done counting.
Really? So 380 yeah. newspapers around the country.
News organizations.
News organizations around the country have published editorials in yes. support of a free press. What are you hearing? What kind of reaction are you getting today? We did hear that the Senate passed a resolution, the U.S. Senate passed a resolution.
Right? That was a fantastic response, that there was a response by the president. And this wasn't something that is aimed. This is not an attack against the president. This is an affirmation of what the role of a free press is. And so the reactions were, well, there are two different reactions. There's what did other editorials say? And it's just so remarkable to read, because the language that's used and, you know, in each news organization in their own words of why they do what they do, you know, it's a reminder of the function of the press that's often taken for granted. Mm. And so the communities will, you know, some smaller weeklies will talk about how our kids are in the same school as your kids, and we care about the water and the roads and the traffic and the new restaurant opening just the same as you, and just sort of this moving away from the dehumanizing language to, we're fellow Americans.
Right. So we should say that that Senate resolution basically condemns attacks on freedom of the press. So you've had some positive reaction, but of course yeah. you've had some not so positive reaction, including from the president himself. He's tweeting up a storm today, not surprisingly.
Yep,
but
not
he,
surprising.
I just want to read a little bit of what he said. Quote, "The Boston Globe, which was sold to the failing New York Times for $1.3 billion or $2.1 billion, was then sold by the Times for $1. And now the Globe is in collusion with other papers on free press." The president's angry. We get it. But, basically he's saying, you know, the newspaper business, sort of saying, if I can paraphrase the yeah. president here, that the newspaper business isn't what it used to be. Globe's a leaner operation, which is true. And everyone joining forces here just proves that all the media are against him.
So it's an interesting definition of collusion, because this was a very open and transparent initiative, and it wasn't designed to deceive anyone. It was a open and coordinated initiative for people to, again, use their own words. Where, yes, we are the free press, and this is what we do every day. So it is not collusion.
Okay.
It is also it did not sell for a dollar.
Okay. John Carroll, let's bring you into this conversation. What's your take on this editorial effort today?
Well, first of all, let me say that it's essential to, I think it's essential to fight back against any effort to marginalize or delegitimize the news media. And I think that this initiative is an interesting way to go about it. It's innovative, it's newsworthy, but it also comes with some baggage. And I think that that the 50% of Republicans who consistently in polls say the press is the enemy of the people, you know, they're not going to be swayed by this. And I don't think that they're the target, actually. Mm. But here are some of the things that they're saying on the right, just to give you an idea of how they react to this. One person said, this is great because it makes it easy for readers to make a list of which papers are fake news. There's another one who says that this is a reflection of the entitled belief by the news media that the First Amendment protects them from criticism. And so those are the reactions that are coming on the right. So there's that message that's going out as well. Mm-hmm. The whole idea of a pro-press, not anti-Trump effort is a really tough bank shot to make. Mm-hmm. And I think that you know, you look at the text of a number of these editorials today. And, you know, what you see is Donald Trump in a lot of them. And so that makes it all the more difficult to make this a positive initiative as opposed to something that is in opposition to Trump. Hmm. And then there's the narrative. I mean, the whole idea of collusion among these national
or at least
mainstream
collaboration,
media.
Right?
Right. So they're aligned against Trump. I mean, you know, that this plays into that feeling.
Right. And so Linda, I'm just wondering if you want to talk about that a little bit. If maybe collusion is just a loaded word at this point. Do you worry about playing into the president's narrative here that all the media are against him, maybe collaborating against him when everyone joins forces?
So, you know, the intended audience for this is really the people who are in these communities that are served by these journalists, by these different news organizations. Again, as a reminder, when you have this alternative narrative coming at you saying that it's fake news, that they're the enemy, these dehumanizing classifications that they're putting as a step back saying, hey, this is actually what we do and why we do it, and here's why it matters. And so do I think it plays into – no. Well, yeah, you know, we had – with the over 380, they came from red states and blue states. They came from small newspapers, mid-sized, large news organizations. It was a variety. There were a few that abstained, and some abstained for different reasons, and some were against it, and we published what – we link to what they said as well, because this is a large course, but I, you know, anything can be twisted.
It's my understanding that there were some security threats received by the Globe today because of this, and security has actually been increased at the paper's offices. Can you talk about that at all?
I think that we are being careful right now, it's something that, you know, there is a consequence to hostile rhetoric against journalists, and you see it in different places, and that's one of the reasons why we're doing this. It is completely fine and normal to complain or to point out where journalism fails, what they didn't cover, what they should have covered more, what they obsessed over and shouldn't have, and criticism like that is welcome and deserved, just like criticism for our leaders and our different people in power is deserved and warranted.
Right. But have you had to increase security?
We have.
Yeah.
We have.
Yeah. Because of threats made because of this editorial drive.
We're being careful right now.
Okay. I want to go to some calls and remind listeners that we'd like you to join this conversation as well. What do you think of this effort of media outlets around the country joining forces and publishing editorials and talking about the president's attacks on the press? You can call us at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Mark is calling from Arlington. Mark, you're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I'm disappointed by the mainstream media in general. They're fixated on attacking the president and not covering important news stories around the country, around the world. You know, if it's protest riots in Haiti or Iraq or Venezuela, it gets barely any mention. Instead, half the evening news is attacking Trump. And the press conferences are disgraceful. It's just reporters trying to needle the press secretary.
And so the Mark, the important stories that you think are not being covered are things that are happening in Haiti and Venezuela. Is that right?
Well, just around the world in general. Hmm. It's the press has been obsessed with attacking Trump, and there's very little real news in the U.S. newspapers. And there's a lot of important stories.
And what do you,
another point is the media is sanitizing the news. If a criminal is arrested, it's taken out that the person is undocumented, if that's the case.
Hmm.
Or in the case of New Mexico and the kids in the compound, initial coverages made no mention at all of Islam, radical Islam or Muslim, even though the names were clearly of that.
So, Mark, I'm actually just what we're talking about today is today's efforts by news organizations to join forces and say how they feel about these attacks on a free press. You're saying the press should be criticized, but that's not really what we're talking about today. We're talking about the press joining together to outline what they do and say why it's important. I'm assuming you disagree with that effort.
Well, yeah, because they're guilty of really not doing a good job, and they're deserving of criticism. Sure, they can say what they like, but they have the right to do that. But they're really not serving their readership and their viewers.
Okay.
Just by focusing on Trump.
John Carroll.
Yeah, so if I could jump in. If you look at the front page of the New York Times today, there is probably one story about Donald Trump, and there are seven stories about something else. This is the most media-rich environment that any society has ever lived in. And if you want to find out something about Haiti or Venezuela, it's pretty easy to go find it. Now, the question is, mainstream media, which is the media that people tend to share, you know, is that really doing justice to public service? And I think the answer is a lot of news organizations are. And one of the problems we have here, I think, in this whole rumpus that's going on over fake news and legitimacy, is that people are living in parallel information universes. And there's not enough crossover, and there's not enough of a shared experience of news and information and analysis. And that's why people are essentially incapable of having any kind of rational public discourse, because there are no mutually agreed upon facts to start out from and form a foundation. So I think that is as much of a problem as any internal and intrinsic problems that the news media have, which they have in abundance in many cases, but at least they are willing to address them. Mm.
I want to bring someone else into the conversation here. Another paper that decided to join this effort, and that was the Cape Cod Times. The editor-in-chief is Paul Pernovo, and he is on the line. Welcome to Radio Boston, Paul.
Thank you. Greetings from sunny Cape Cod.
Oh, we wish we were there today. It's such a perfect beach day. So we're all jealous, but why did you think it was important for your paper to join this effort that was led by the Boston Globe?
Well, you know, quite honestly, we had a lot of discussion, not only among the Cape Cod Times, but we're part of Gatehouse Media and the papers here in New England. The editors talked about it. A few publishers were involved in the discussion as well. And it went back and forth a little bit. Some of the concerns were the reasons that you folks have articulated already, you know, worries that we're playing into the president's hand or the idea of collusion. And obviously we've already seen him take some of what happened today and use that as fodder for his freshest tweets today. So there was that sort of thought. But at the end of the day, we felt that it was far more important to be involved, and there was far more to gain than to lose, and that's why we decided to join.
Hmm. And are you concerned at all? I mean, we're hearing about increased security at the Boston Globe, some threats today. Have you experienced any of that, or are you concerned about that, Paul?
Well, certainly I could understand why something like that would be with the Globe in that, first of all, they're much bigger than us. Secondly, they organize this effort, and so that's going to naturally put, unfortunately, a bullseye on them. For us, we're not concerned in particular about this, but quite honestly, any journalist could tell you that threats are nothing new, and we often get irate callers for any number of reasons, and you always have to vet whether or not that is something to just sort of hang up the phone and not worry about and never hear from again, or think, I wonder if that person's coming through the door next. And so that is always in the back of your mind. I wouldn't say for us down here, it's in particular today.
Mm-hmm. And so what do you think you're hoping to accomplish mostly with this?
Well, you know, the thrust of our editorial, and again, you know, different editorial boards took different tacks with it. We kind of tried to lay it out twofold. One, we wanted to say quite clearly that not only are we not the enemy of the people, but we are the people. At a community journalism level, we're your neighbors, we're your friends, we're your family, we're the folks who coach your soccer team, we're the folks you see in the grocery store. You know, we are the same as everyone else around us. And I think that when you are able to humanize this business like that, it's an effective way to combat what has been a pretty vicious demonization of us. And, you know, like anything, it's easy to take something in a vacuum and say, oh, this is bad. But when you know someone or know more of the ins and outs, it's harder to make that accusation. So we're hoping to humanize who we are as a profession, and specifically who we are down here. That, and then also to point out that not only is this damaging in a general way, and we tried to make it clear that this is not Trump versus us. There's a larger issue at stake here, and that's the basic social compact that we, our industry, has, where our job is to find the truth and to report it as fully and fairly as possible, and we're counting on our folks, our advertisers, our readers, to believe what we say. That basic level of credibility is vital to us as an industry, and it's vital to a democracy. And when you take chips at it, small chips, big chips, whatever, it's really damaging to the foundation of what we're all about and what our country is all about. So that was something we wanted to drive home, and hopefully we did.
Okay, I want to take some calls. Stephen is calling from the Seaport. Stephen, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I'm actually considering that the president's very lucky right now that it was only an editorial that the Globe decided to run. I think they should really have a headline saying "Lionest President Ever," and they should just do one complete paper with every falsehood he's had since the beginning of a campaign to current. And I guarantee you, there would be the biggest paper that they had, bigger than their Sunday Globe edition.
Okay.
And I also realize too that it's really not going to change anybody's mind who's a Trump fan. But what it will do is it's got to energize the Democratic side and the independents to actually go out from my head's ready to explode from frustration of these past few years of dealing with this particular president. There has to be something that we could do to get him out of office. And I think that would probably be
okay.
one of the ways
Well, hold on a second, Stephen, because I think you bring up a point here, and that is bias. Because sometimes when the president's talking about fake news, is it sort of shorthand for bias in a way, that he's feeling that there's a slant to particular stories that are against him in general, and that some papers might be deliberately trying to get him out of office, which is not the role of the press. Let's talk about bias a little bit. Linda.
I want to first say that the editorial by the Cape Cod Times is exactly that, and that was exactly the intention, and that the intended audience was the people within the communities who need to look at their local community paper as their local community paper that's serving them and is their neighbors and the humanization. So that you got it exactly right. In terms of this, you know, this brings up the really important differential between an editorial page and the news page and the editorial board versus the rest of the newsroom. And what is done in the newsroom is as straight as they can. You know, they try really hard. Is it possible to be absolutely zero bias? You're the professor.
No, it's not possible.
No, it isn't possible,
But they do try, and I think you can acknowledge that and understand that we really put the opinion in the editorial page or with our columnists, and that the news stories are, you know, they are based on the facts.
Right, and nobody is objective, but the idea is to use objective methods to gather and disseminate the news. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. The other thing is this firewall between the editorial board and the newsroom is something that's very familiar to people in the news business, but not so much to people in the general public. So it was interesting. The San Diego Union-Tribune did an editorial, but then they had a full page to say how we restore faith in journalism. And that's one of the things that I think, because you look at what's going to happen tomorrow. You know, maybe 5-10% of newspaper readers actually read the editorials. Mm-hmm. So what happens tomorrow? And I think one of the things that can be very valuable is for newspapers to start on an education program to show their work, to explain to people, you know, how they operate and how they try to be as unbiased as they can. Mm-hmm. And if more people were aware of the actual mechanics of doing this, I think they would be the news organizations, it would be easier for them to fight off these charges. You know, fake news started out as fraudulent news made for political purposes or financial purposes. Now, fake news is just anything that Donald Trump doesn't like. Mm-hmm. So it's a meaningless term at this point. And I think that newspapers have to substitute something meaningful for that to convince the public.
I think you're exactly right. Explaining what journalists do from time to time is important.
Mm-hmm. I just want to, just briefly in the time we have left, there are some newspapers that did not do this. San Francisco Chronicle today wrote that one of its most important values is independence, so it doesn't go along with the crowd, right? So that there's an issue right there. Baltimore Sun says this just plays into the hands of Donald Trump and his thinking that all in the media are out to get him. So this wasn't a unanimous thing, but I just wonder at this point, Linda, final words here, Linda Pizzuti-Henry, do you think that you've accomplished really what you set out to do with this today?
I think that we have raised awareness for what the role and the value of journalism is, and we helped connect the news organizations to the communities that they served.
Okay. Linda Pizzuti-Henry, Managing Director of the Boston Globe, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Also, John Carroll, Professor of Journalism at BU and WBUR Senior News Analyst. John, thanks to you as well.
Thank you.
That's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR. I'm Deborah Becker. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.